Navigating the travel world doesn't have to be complicated. Whether you want to hack your points and miles, figure out where to travel next, or you just need advice on an ethical dilemma. I'm Aislinn Green, host of Unpacked by Afar. And in the brand new season, we are unpacking the most captivating and challenging topics in the travel industry, one conversation at a time. Topics like the sexiness of travel insurance and the perils of quote-unquote bad tourism, and even the secrets to flying with children and not losing your mind in the process. Listen to Unpacked by Afar wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This is a Secret Life of Canada crash course. Just a little bit of history.
I would describe it as a sweet bun or a cinnamon bun.
Like a cinnamon bun-esque donut without the glaze.
It's got a certain texture, a certain density, a certain taste to it.
And then there's this pink berry icing that is just caked on top.
That has a berry, a pink berry frosting on top of it.
And then the mix with the cinnamon and the icing, everything, it is a very distinct taste when you have it. And you're like, yes, this is what it is. It's been a longstanding tradition that it, you can only really get in Thunder Bay.
Hey, Leah.
Hey, Phelan. That was a collection of current and former Thunder Bay residents describing a Persian, which is a baked treat that has become synonymous with Thunder Bay.
Oh, I love Persian food. This is exciting.
I do as well. But the Persian bun is not from Iran, nor is it a Persian delicacy. And it actually has nothing to do with Persian people.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
It is weird. But the Persian bun's claim to fame is you can really only find them in Thunder Bay. So, you know, I had to get to the bottom of this because I was like, what? Why are these called this? And I don't understand.
Okay. So how did a pink frosted cinnamon bun-like baked good get the name Persian? I'm confused.
So all the people I talked to from Thunder Bay also had no idea, so I made some calls.
Hi, you've reached the Thunder Bay Museum.
Please wait a moment.
Thunder Bay Museum, Michael speaking.
Hey, Michael, it's Leah.
I love a local museum. Love them.
Always my first stop when I can't figure this stuff out. So I spoke to Michael DeJong. He is one of the curators at the Thunder Bay Museum, and he explained how Persians got their name.
The basic details are a little bit opaque, but there's the general story that, you know, has been sort of passed down through the decades. And that goes that in the mid-1940s, this all started with Art Bennett's Bakery in Port Arthur. And so an American general named John Joseph Pershing, P-E-R-S-H-I-N-G, was visiting Port Arthur from a naval base in Duluth. And he was sort of shopping or something, and he was wandering around looking for something to eat. He wandered into Art's Bakery, sampled and enjoyed one of the pastries that Art had invented, and he and Bennett hit it off, and they had a great conversation. It was, you know, a great time was had by all. And afterwards, Bennett decided to name the pastry after the general, except that Pershing became Persian, and that was pretty much that.
Okay. So the Thunder Bay Persian was named after an American general? That's like the last thing that I would have expected. So who was this General John Joseph Pershing?
Okay, so General John Joseph Pershing sounds like the beginning of a campfire song, by the way. But anyway, John Joseph Pershing was a very decorated general who commanded many wars, battles, and skirmishes for the U.S. His career is a bit of a mixed bag, and by mixed bag, I mean full of many groups of people trying to free themselves from the bag that we know as American imperialism. He started off with missions to decimate the Sioux, and most famously against Geronimo and the Apache people. He also was part of that. Yeah.
Well, I don't love that.
No.
And if you don't know, Geronimo was the famous Apache leader who fought against the U.S. many times and was just generally pretty cool.
He was pretty cool, yes. And so after the general worked on all of that, He headed to Cuba to fight in the Spanish-American War. And that was the war where America was trying to subvert Spain's colonial rule over the Caribbean so that they could rule over the Caribbean and the U.S. won.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But then Pershing... Now, see, I understand how Pershing happened. Mm-hmm, but Pershing mm-hmm. went to the Philippines where the Americans tried to suppress the Moro tribes. They were trying to retain their autonomy. And then he went to Mexico with 12,000 soldiers in pursuit of Pancho Villa, who was a revolutionary and a freedom fighter. Then after that.
Okay. So there's more. Great.
Yeah. And. Then after that, he did the thing that I think got a dessert in Thunder Bay named after him.
I am so confused how we got here. What was that?
Okay, so in 1917, he became the commander of the American Expeditionary Forces in the battle against Germany in World War I. And as you know, the U.S., along with Canada and other allies, won that war.
Right.
So now, as legend states it, Pershing met the original baker of the Persian, Art Bennett, in the 1940s, which meant that Pershing at that time was in his 80s. By that point, General Pershing had become a Pulitzer Prize-winning author for his memoirs called My Experiences in the World War.
Okay, so it seems like he was a bit of a military superstar.
He was. And then, of course, World War II broke out in 1939, essentially against the same enemy, Germany. And so enter this charismatic, famous general in the height of the days of patriotism and, of course, fear over being involved in another world war. And baker Art Bennett is trying out some recipes, hits it off with this famous general and thinks, that guy, I'm naming this delicious thing after that guy.
Like, I guess that makes sense for the time period. Okay, and then the name Pershing Bun just got shortened or evolved into Persian?
Yeah, I think that's what happened. It's a shorthand. But the pastry didn't become popular right away. Here's Michael again.
It didn't really become a big thing, though, for at least several decades after that. Someone named Mario Nucci purchased Bennett's bakery in the early 1960s. And it was Mario Nucci that basically spread it far and wide because he was a huge fan of it. And that's sort of how it eventually took off and became an iconic Thunder Bay thing, per se. He eventually opened the Persian Man Bakery in the 1990s, which was devoted to Persians.
The bakery was called the Persian Man.
Yeah, it's still called that. And they have two in town, actually.
So there's this little cafe that looks like it's just a time capsule. Like, it looks like it's from the 1940s.
And the one I used to go to is over by the Husky and over near Lakehead University.
So we would go to the Persian Man. Me and my dad actually would take like a lunch break occasionally and have a Persian and a coffee. And then I'd go back to high school or whatever I was doing at the time.
So that's Keith Barker and Erica Gellert, and they're explaining their experiences at the Persian Man. Keith told me he got introduced to them when he was growing up because the Persian Man would come into schools.
And so they'd have a Persian day, and so you'd bring a dollar and you'd get two Persians, like they were 50 cents each. And so the whole school had Persians, so they would show up and the whole school smelled like Persians. So that was kind of like my first like memory, was having it at school and it being a big deal.
Persian Day would take on a whole different meaning if you weren't from Thunder Bay.
Totally. I was truly curious if that was the reason, though, that we don't see Persians in other parts of Canada.
I quit bringing it up after a few years because I was just like, you know what? I get a lot of weird looks. And sometimes I'm just like, I don't think they can separate Persian, the ethnicity, from Persian, the dessert. So I was just like, you know, I'm gonna stop trying to pitch it to people.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. That makes sense.
It totally makes sense. But here's the thing: the more I looked into it, I realized there are other places selling Persians, but just not in Canada. Strangely, I found a bakery in Indiana that makes a Persian, but it doesn't have the same kind of icing. You can also buy Persian buns in other places in the States. Namely Walmart, weirdly. But again, they have white icing on them, which I think cancels them out from being a true, you know, quote unquote Persian.
So the pink berry icing with the cinnamon bun slash donut-like interior, that's truly a Thunder Bay invention?
It is. It lives there and it stays there. And the people are passionate about it. I mean, it's such a thing there. I was actually very curious if there was an exhibit dedicated to the Persian in the Thunder Bay Museum.
No, there isn't. So I can't say I've never played with the idea, but as of yet, there is not.
Well, you know, maybe they can do a touring exhibition and come to Montreal. Maybe I'll see if the bun lives up to the man it's named after.
I agree. And then hit Toronto on the way back. I would be very into this. Berry icing? Yes, please.
Yeah, we like food.
We love food. Food is not underrated.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.